Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for caring enough about our planet to listen and to listen to people who are experiencing the process of admitting, working through, and living through the changes that we all have. In my intro, I say we now have to admit we live in a world transformed by Fukushima. I probably ought to have said we're transformed in a world transformed by the Manhattan Project. Today is Monday, and I have since I found out that St. Louis was an ignored catastrophe in our country, I have been interviewing activists and highlighting the plight of the victims of St. Louis. And today returning is Larry Bergen, one of the victims of St. Louis, who lives on the other side of the river. I'll let him tell his story. He was highlighted in the first Secret City, The Safe Side of the Fence, two outstanding documentaries, which I've heard much about, but they're small, and I am on the West Coast, have not seen them. So let me introduce you. Thank you, Larry, for joining us.
Good morning, Lonnie. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing all right, I guess, considering everything going on in my life. But how are you today?
Well, I can say we're holding our own here. A lot of people don't know about St. Louis's and the victims here in this community, and I'm glad you're able to highlight this on your show, and because people need to know that there are victims all across this country, due to what you just mentioned, the Manhattan Project, and again, something that was built to keep us safe is actually doing the opposite, and I am living proof of that, which is a weird way of putting it, because of my health issues and this radiation, maybe I'm considered dying proof of it.
Wow, Larry. Wow.
You know, and again, this is why shows like yours need to be out there, so people can be aware of the health issues that arise from simple things you cannot see. Simple, like radiation. And when I say simple, I mean, you know, small amounts all over the place that you wouldn't even think of or recognize. It could be laying in the driveway next to your mailbox. You wouldn't know it. It could be in your backyard or floating over your home.
And then 10, 15 years later, you start getting sick and you can't figure out why. You're losing your strength. You're getting these weird things.
These are for the people out there who think they're safe, wherever they're at, relatively safe, because they have no idea. No one's ever told them there's a factory next door. No one ever told them what they're producing down the street. So they
Where were you? What was your
wonderful
circumstances?
Bliss. Me? See, I retained my exposures from a factory producing it over here in Illinois. And, again, I lived
What's
in
the name
a
of the city
little
in Illinois?
Oh, it's the Madison, Illinois. It's right across the Mississippi River from St. Louis. In fact, you can see the Gateway Arch easily down the street from the entrance of this factory. That's how close we are to it. And the idea that this factory upwind of this residence was built to produce aluminum magnesium was quite fine. There was no problem, they thought back then. Initially, the factory was built in World War II to assemble Army tanks for the war project, which it did. But then in the 50s, it was sold off to Dow Chemical to produce magnesium and aluminum products. But the government still had its finger on the till because they gave this company permission to process radioactive metals on behalf of the government. Now, of course, no one asked any of these residents living next door or this elementary school 20 feet away. No one ever considered their issues or health. Again, the employees were even considered less on that level because we have no knowledge of any ID badges when they was working with any of these radioactive materials back then. They wasn't wearing any radiation badges or anything of that nature.
Hey, Larry, do you mind if I interrupt you? I want to go back. I want to understand this. So that factory was not specifically designed to process this radioactive material?
No, ma'am. In fact, it was built to assemble Army tanks. So in a way, it was built to make death. And the problem with that is, after the war ended, producing all these radioactive materials, they continue producing that death, but in the form of victims as employees and residents.
Wow. So they just turned a tank factory into a radioactive processing plant? A processing plant where they...
That was a side job for the company. It was an aluminum magnesium foundry, but on the side they would run radiologic materials for the government. For instance, they had
at the same time. It wasn't like...
That it
wasn't...
would melt. Excuse me. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry.
It was concurrently at the same time. Like, they were doing their normal business of creating these chemicals or whatever it is that they're doing. And then they had a side job of creating radioactive material for the government.
No, it was Dow Chemical Factory, but there was never no chemical. It was nothing. It wasn't a chemical factory. All it did was melt aluminum into bars and rods. And then they melted magnesium and into bars and rods as well. But because they had these unique processes, these giant pots, 10 feet round, over a dozen of them, they would also melt radioactive material for the government. Now,
oh
the idea was...
Gosh.
Yeah, it was thorium. Now, I watched them actually I watched them up to the year 2000 when they quit processing this metal. But never once did they have any kind of ductwork, any screens, any filters. All they had was exhaust fans in the roof, which would suck this radioactive smoke and dust out, and then drift over downwind, which would land in the residents' yards and homes. It would land on their gardens and their food. It would land on their clothes hanging on the line, the children's playground, the elementary school 20 feet away, like I mentioned. We had 5 teachers and a principal die of cancer from that school.
Oh, my goodness.
We had 75 people with cancer in 2 blocks next to this factory, but there's only 35 homes in those 2 blocks.
What did your elected officials do? Nothing?
I met with a congressman 2 weeks ago, me and our committee member, to discuss this issue about finding help and recourse for these residents. And she saw so much damning material that she set up a second meeting with me and another congressman on the 9th, this Friday. So I'm meeting with 2 congressmen aides to discuss this issue to take it to the next level for testing, an epidemiology study.
Can you
on the
disclose residents. Who you are meeting with?
Congressman Shimkus, who is also on a subcommittee for the environment and energy, and
yes.
Congressman Boast, whose district these residents are in.
Post?
Boast, B-O-A-S-T.
Is he a new congressman? I know Congressman
Shimkus. Yes, he is.
Congressman
has helped us in the past. He actually sent a letter of recommendation for me being tested for radiation poisoning up in Rochester, New York, back in 2007, I believe, 2008.
That's why, in fact, wow. He sent a letter of recommendation to have you tested?
Yes. Yeah, see, I showed him I was going to be tested up there at the Uranium Medical Research Center. It's based in Canada, but it has a New York office. And what they do is they was testing soldiers coming back from the Gulf War who was around uranium dust or depleted uranium during the war and come back with same sort of illnesses. Now, the thing is, every illness that they were testing for, you know, there's a specific five illnesses that all these soldiers kept coming back with. Now, keep in mind, I have the exact same illnesses, and I, too, was exposed to uranium dust.
Mm.
Genius to start seeing the pattern here start to develop.
That's a scientific.
So that's one of the reasons why they chose me to be tested up there for the at the Uranium Medical Research Center, because my illnesses were so closely related to these soldiers for the same reason. And but the government canceled our test a week before I went up there for my testing.
Of course they did.
They did it in the form of threats with funding. They told the university that if they tested any more people up there, that they would pull their funding from the university.
Of course they did.
And when it comes to money, college will do what they have to do.
That's right. You know what's really sad about this?
Well, they told me the reason behind this was the government wasn't going to pay this university to prove that they've been poisoning people.
And why not? If they had integrity, they ought to be saying, look, we didn't even know what was happening. We thought they were
taking... play the hero card and say, hey, look what we just found. Oh, my God, please, everybody rush here. We can help you. We want to test you. But they didn't. They wanted to hide the card, and that's always...
It's the 90% rule. Dr. John Goffman in the mid-60s had studied the people from Hiroshima and Nagasaki for 20 years. At the end of that 20-year summation, he said, you know what I have discovered? The International Atomic Energy Agency, the military, most world governments... It goes across governmental lines. It is anybody in the nuclear industry.
I have proof right here in front of me on a piece of paper. The last attorneys we had to represent the residents sent us a letter saying, please be advised that this office will no longer be taking further action on behalf to regard in this manner. Our potential research, our case shows that subject to the Price-Anderson Act, which requires proof of individual exposures, well, there you go right there, this letter from this attorney, proves what you just said about the government's overreach and keeping this a close.
It's the Price-Anderson Act. The Price-Anderson Act.
And even these attorneys knew what it was who never handled a radiation case before.
You read a simple thing.
Now, here's one other thing these lawyers say, which I find extremely unusual, is the residents themselves. The I have a regret that our firm cannot... Okay. You and your community has been victims of the worst kind, and unfortunately, it appears the legal system will not be able to help you. Again, this probably refers back to the Price-Anderson, which he mentioned, you know, up in a paragraph. These people, just because they didn't work with the radioactive metal, they believe they aren't entitled to any type of compensation. Yet they're just as much victims as the
It's not even that. It's because they're not going to make it. These attorneys didn't want it because they're not going to make any money. You know what the Price-Anderson Act does?
Yes. It keeps from suing the owners of the factory who's operating this radioactive material.
It limits the amount of money that those people can have to pay. And then you know what happens with that? This is interesting because the government pays for the cleanup, but then the licensees have to repay the government. That's where they're cutting the fuse wrap budgets. It's such a shakedown. It is really unconscionable to think that this is really how our government operates. I mean, we are the farthest thing away from what our Constitution intended. What happened in the nuclear industry? The secrecy, the secret government, the nuclear priesthood, they call themselves nukies. They look at people with disdain. They called me and you nuke mongerers. You know what I mean? Like, it's a form of insanity.
I believe it's the invisibility of the poison. I mean, you look right now and you'll see they're all over the Zika virus. They're doing everything they can now. Well, as soon as Congress gets back from vacation, excuse me. They're going to
Zika
do everything they can
to
keep this Zika virus down. Now, Zika, you can't see it. It's invisible. It's a virus. But they're doing everything they can to keep it down. But the radiation. Now, this
you
is
know
a
why
super
they're
invisible
doing
poison.
It?
They don't try to hide because why? Unlike the virus, this is profitable. radiation.
Well, they lie about it. See, this is the thing. They deny radiation causes harm, underreport the negative effects by 90%. That's what Dr. John Goffman said. They are sticking with it. And the Zika virus is a way to avert the attention away from uranium poisoning. Every place where these babies have had microencephaly, they are downwind of grotesque uranium mining practices or a
Yes, there's that movie you was talking about several months ago about the uranium mines down in South America.
Yes, and it is just bull, this whole thing about Zika this, Zika that. I'm not buying it, but this is what I want you to discuss.
Oh, it can be real, but
you can't take your eye off the other ball either,
and that's the radiation exposures, right? Just because a new illness comes around, you don't ignore the last one.
I want you to talk about what you said to me about the victims. Please discuss what you meant when you said you wanted to really talk about what the victims have to go through just to find out that they have been exposed. Talk a little bit about how you understand that story.
Well, you know, from my perspective, I was just an average Joe at work every day, punching a time clock, going home, getting dinner, eating, watching TV, and that. Then when I started getting ill, started having health issues, my insurance was through my company. So whenever I had these weird health issues, I'd have to turn my medical insurance into my company so they would pay the bills. And then about 6 months after all my strange illnesses started manipulating or started acquiring on me and building, the company got rid of me and every other employee in the factory. They put us out on a strike. A contract that no one in their right mind would sign to get rid of us. It took me a year after that to learn to walk again. I was literally bedridden for months and months. And my wife actually had to feed me. I couldn't even use my hands. And once I started getting better...
What happened when you just woke up weak?
Oh, it was months. It took me a year again to learn to walk. And that's when I finally wanted to look into my health issues, why I was sick. And that's when the radiation over my head, the radioactive dust, popped up on my radar. You know, how it was there, could that be the cause of my illness? And once I started looking into it deeper and the research, then I seen my coworkers were developing the same health problems. And then in our family, we were starting to have birth defects, something that never happened before. And then my coworkers, the same thing, birth defects and health problems. And it was starting to be more and more obvious as we went, as I looked into this. And
did you know it was radioactive dust when you were at work? Did anybody say, hey,
well, here's
careful.
The thing. They didn't tell us until the year 2000 when they came in to clean it up.
What?
Yes. Yes. See, it was taking tests for the past 6-8 years of the soil, of the uranium samples overhead. But they do it on a weekend when we wasn't there. And, of course, the owners knew they was doing this because the government didn't sneak in there like ninjas, you know. They had to have permission, and they had to explain why. And the thing is, you know, the company knew I was being, and my coworkers on this one machine was being exposed to this dust on the beam overhead, uranium dust. And they also knew what our health issues was because of our insurance. So once they saw my weird illnesses coming up and that where I worked, I honestly believe they was easy to put one and one together and figure out, you know, this guy's going to figure it out. And then we're going to be sued. So what they did was got all rid of all of us, file bankruptcy, and hope we went our separate ways and die off. Sad. But...
And what about the neighbors in your neighborhood? Did any of them know that they had been exposed after they found out?
Oh, no. They wasn't even an afterthought.
I mean, after you guys found out in 2000, when all that came out in 2000, did they tell the community, hey, you need to start, you know, this might have affected your families?
You would think they would, but I actually have a letter from the Department of Nuclear Safety, and it states that the employees, here it is right here, Illinois Department of Nuclear Safety, comments on FERSAP, February 25th, year 2000. Army Corps have inadequately assessed the dose to the first critical group workers and entirely ignored the second critical group residents. Inadequate assessment is what it's titled under.
Did they get a second assessment from the Army Corps of Engineers?
There was no follow-up.
And why not?
Because it was not their job to do a medical evaluation. Their job was to remediate.
Oh, these people are unconscionable.
I know. It's like saying, well, we're here to take care of the body, but it's not my job to find out why he died.
Right. Well, they're thinking about ignoring babies and children and people that are weak.
Well, that's just it. You know, they're the most susceptible, the young and the elderly, especially the young, because the genetic deformation and genetic damage starts at a very early age. I mean, even that's why the miscarriages and birth defects is so much more prevalent. Now, me, I have some of what of a window being 30, 35, 40 when I was being exposed, so most of my genetic forms are already developed, but it's the damaging since then, which will continue from here to day I die.
And you're a man, too, so men are stronger. Like, of all the species, that's why the government tests men. Did you know that? That's what made Dr. John Goffman study the Japanese. Yes, the government went in, took all this great information, and it started to sum up pretty easy from the preliminary documentation. So they destroyed all the evidence after 3 years of all the women and children.
Well, victims out there who know they are have nowhere to turn. There is no support group.
And I think the key here is know they are. I think a lot of people have been exposed to radiation and have no idea they have been exposed.
Well, now, there are committees out there who are investigating this and working on, like our committee, you know, on remediation and testing and such, but there is no, quote, like I said, support group. Someone you could call up and say, hey, how do you know if there's radiation been in my neighborhood or this community? Or, hey, how do you know what's the radiation exposure level due to a certain you know, there's no, like, a someone you can go to. There is one new one that's out there called the Cold War Patriots. They're actually a branch of the government, and that's really the only support group I've ever found to help people.
They're a branch
of
the government.
It's funny putting those two together, government support. Yeah, I know. But these are actually a group who helps people sign up for the government cancer fund, and they repeat the process as many times as necessary until they're approved. And they give them as much information and answers as they have available to them. They're very good. You got to say they're good. They're the only ones there is. I mean.
And at least they help people get treatment. I mean, don't you think
right,
that is
they steer
really
them in the right direction for getting them help. And our factory has already paid out over 188 employees $28 million. Now, this is cancers caused by radiation. Through this NIOSH Cancer Fund. It's called the Energy Employees Occupational Illness Compensation Program Act.
You know, just the nuclear exposure alone entitles everybody in this country to free
healthcare. Oh, it took me years to help get this fund installed.
I mean, we ought to just have healthcare as a civil right. Like, we ought to be able to go to the doctor and say, hey, and have the doctor, without any limitations, really figure out what's wrong with us instead of having to play games. I mean, our doctors are so minimally education.
We had that same discussion. You know, if the Republicans would have put as much time and effort into improving Obamacare to where it's called AmeriCare, they would be heroes. But they wasted all that effort in trying to discredit it.
Larry, I'm going to go deeper than that. Forget the Republicans. If the president would have had some gonads and given a single payer health care for all, we had the whole thing was already set up. We have Medicare, and we had the legislation. We have the system set up. It's a great system. Obama sold us out, and we are now suffering at the hands of Republicans because he is a Republicrat. There is one party in this now Soviet United States. We live in the United Soviet States of America, where only the vote for the right candidate counts and where you don't have any rights. We don't have the right to go to the doctor. We don't have the right to vote. We do not have the right to free, clean food. I mean, think about it. Americans are going to get a wake-up call very shortly after this election because the axis
when Fukushima blew up, the state of Illinois told other citizens they were putting monitors around the state to monitor for radiation in the air to keep us safe. Yet, for years, our committee could not get them, the state, to come down and check these residents out who we found uranium in their yards. We've had their yards tested.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you see the irony in this? They're more worried about radiation 6,000 miles away than here in their residents' yard in their own state.
When it's being
And why is this?
Yeah.
Most of these residents are poor and black. I believe it's more of a civil rights issue as well as anything else.
Wow.
Ain't this amazing? Ain't this amazing?
Well, we're just like their little lab rats. That's the issue. So what is this? What's the status of what you're doing, Larry? Because you got exposed at the factory. You discovered that you had this litany of illnesses of which you've been struggling and managing and dealing with issues in your family. What type of litigation? Where are you legally? Are you suing Dow, or are you looking? What are you looking for? What's your compensation? What's your remedy?
Again,
now?
The good to come from this bad. We cannot go back and change what has happened. So I work to find the good to go forward. And of course, one of the things is helping the residents and the employees. When I found out something very important when I first started investigating this was I'm not alone. And to ignore others who have been poisoned by the factory would make me as bad as the owner who ignored me and did this to me. And I could not become that type of evil. So I've been working to help everyone. I can't save the world, can't save this entire state or the city, but these six blocks, it's doable. I can do that. And that's what I've been working on for the past since 2003 when I first found out about this.
Wow.
And,
13
so,
years.
Again, yes, ma'am. And now, again, I mentioned earlier how we have gotten over $28 million for 180 families through the cancer fund, the federal cancer fund. Again, I'm very proud of what I've done to help make that possible. I believe I was the sole one to be included for the residual period. This art factory was the very first factory to be included for a residual period up to 1998. Now, this is very unique because no other factory has ever been given residual compensation except ours. And I believe all the affidavits and all my presentations to the board members proved to it was real and they saw it. So I'm proud of that fact. And
congratulations.
That helps us on the federal level. Now, the state level...
But it also sets precedent, too.
That's what I had to do.
It sets precedent for them
there.
To have to acknowledge it.
Absolutely. Because once they know it's there and it's harming us, you can go where you want from here. And that's where I took it to the next level. I filed a workers' comp claim. Now, even though I haven't worked there for 7-8 years, the statute of limitation in Illinois states that you're only eligible from time of injury 3 years, and that's everything, mercury, lead, arsenic, no matter what, except one thing, radiation. Statute of limitation is 25 years. Now, why is it so much longer than all the other statutes? Because it takes that long for this insidious poison to rear its ugly head and cause its damage to the body. So, having this knowledge on hand, I went, filed a workers' comp claim. And within a week, my lawyer told me the insurance company has conceded on this claim with all the documentation I provided him. Mm. And immediately I knew then I had a second window of opportunity for the employees. And since then, I signed up over 150 employees with health problems associated or connected to this radiation. So we have a cancer fund for cancer through the federal government. And I'm hoping soon, within the next several months, if not weeks, we'll have the window open for the illnesses acquired by it as well on a state level. Now, that will give us two windows of hope for the employees and victims inside this factory. Now, it's on the other side of the chain link fence where the residents were exposed, we're still dealing with. Now, I told you just a few moments ago, I read from a letter where the last attorney let us go because of the Price-Anderson Act.
Right.
That's why now we're turning to the political process. We're going to stop going after the legal option and try to go after the political. Because
what do you mean by that? What are you talking about?
Well, for years, our committee, since 2009, since we formed it, we've been trying to find lawyers who can help these residents to associate their problems and their health problems to their exposures and to get them compensation. We watched over at Westlake Landfill over in Missouri. Them, for years, they've been going through politicians trying to get help and going nowhere. So our committee thought it would be a good idea to go a different direction, to go through the legal process of trying to get these residents help and recognition. And since that seems to have expired, now we're turning back to the political option. But the good news is we have a lot more information than they do at Westlake Landfill. These lawyers over the years that been, you know, that would take our case and let us go, take our case, let us go, they weren't denying us or rejecting us. They were helping us build our case. You see, the first lawyer says, well, you got a good case, you just don't have this. So our committee would work for months and get that information, go to a new lawyer. He would say, well, you got a good case and you got this, you just don't have, you know, that. So our committee would work months and get that information, and we'd go to another lawyer. He would say, well, you got this and that, you just need the other, and then so on and so on and so on. But the thing was, they weren't rejecting us. They helped us build our case step by step by step by
they
step.
They told you what you were lawyer, technically
we
missing.
Have everything they need. It's like a hidden miracle. So when these politicians seen this last week or 2 weeks ago, they were just overwhelmed with the cancer list, with the radiation, the uranium
Congressman
levels.
Congressman Shimkus' office, you mean Congressman
yes,
Shimkus?
Yes,
they were office. Like, oh my fact, gosh, they cannot ignore this, yes.
Oh, absolutely not. But see, before, all we had was one off-site exposure, and it was only 5 feet down next to a roadway. It was oozing off the waste site. But that didn't seem to be enough. That's why we needed testing in their yards.
Wow.
And once we've got the radiation readings back, it showed elevated levels. You could actually read the levels of U-235.
Which is what was in that facility.
Well, see, here's this other thing I did, was I made a bar graph of the reading of four samples in the residents' yards, and I made four bar graph samples from the uranium readings inside when they removed it back in 2000. And what I did was I enlarged the bar graph readings to size in the residents' yards because, you know, naturally they'd be much lower readings than inside. Inside is where they produced it. It just drifted out the window. So I enlarged the residents' bar graph to size of the indoor, and they were identical. And when I mean identical, I mean identical. So right there I sent this finding off to a physicist.
Explain that again, that you increased the bar graph.
Well, yeah, I enlarged the size of the scale. Okay, see, the readings are much smaller outside, of course, naturally, because it was drifted over and landed in their yards. So what I did was I made the bar, as you know, it was like 1.0 outside, but the bar graph inside would be like 23.0. So what I did was I just enlarged the pictures to scale so it would match the ones
oh,
in the
I
door.
See.
And that gave us a radiological signature. That
yes,
told
it did.
Us the radiation, the uranium in their yards, the U-234, U-235, and U-238, is the exact same type of uranium inside the factory. And the radium that was processed inside the factory is a Belgium Congo ore, pitchblende. So you tell me how Belgium Congo uranium got in these residents' yards.
Wow.
I sent this finding to a physicist, and he agreed with my theory, saying it was the only way. There's no way you can have that higher uranium-235 readings naturally in this continent.
Wow. So then now what is going to be your net result? What are you guys going to gain when you say in just a few weeks? What's your process?
Oh,
where are you in getting?
To finalize our worker comp claims to start them. We're right on the edge of the analytical data is almost done. In fact, one of them already is. We have certain benchmarks we had to reach first.
So since you got sick, you have not been on workers' compensation? They've been denying
you
workers' compensation?
Oh, no. We've been on Social Security disability. My wife also. She's a retired Sunday school teacher. And I brought this dust home. And it affected her and my children as well, and grandchildren.
Oh,
so she also. We were living at the poverty level for the last 12 years. And I'm fighting these billion-dollar giants. It's truly modern day David versus Goliath story here. But
yes,
right
is
on my side, as it was on David's.
Well, and this is the thing that we're going to find out. Like, the sad part about going through these elected officials is that they are going to get pressure from within the military to not participate in remediation. Like,
that
this
was
is
another
the thing.
Issue, yeah.
That is, it is controlled by the military. There is no freedom. Like, these people have got to click their heels and say Sieg Heil and do what they are expected to do. This is why the people of St. Louis are getting the big runaround. They're doing everything perfectly correct.
I was one of them. I agree. I was one of them. I was one of those drones who did what he was told in that factory. We're looking out for your safety. Don't you worry about it. And I left it up to them, and look what happened. 12 years of poverty and pain.
Well, not only that, look what it's done to the quality of your life. And frankly, look what the secrecy and the lies has done to the fundamentals of our democracy. I mean, we live in a country now where people are shot in the streets by police officers, in a country where right now, if the government wants to come into my house, they have the legal right to sneak and peek.
I live six miles here from Ferguson. And everybody knows Ferguson was almost the starting point for all this. Over here in St. Louis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, for us, you see, my perspective from St. Louis is, my opinion is I have this kind of subversive feeling that, like, they incited a lot of what went down in St. Louis to keep people from paying attention, because just about the same time St. Louis was about to break on a national scale, the radiation and the catastrophe that was going on, that whole thing with Michael Brown happened. And it turned in, and there were people in St. Louis, there were advocates, so... this is what is beyond my comprehension here, Larry.
Go ahead.
We have these civil rights leaders going to St. Louis, acting like they care about people, ignoring the fact that there's a burning nuclear dump site at the airport.
Yes. Actually, you know, it hasn't reached a radioactive waste yet. It's still a fuse, getting ready to get to a time bomb, so to speak. Nuclear time bomb.
I believe it is burning the radioactive waste. I really believe. I believe they're lying about that, and I think that's why they know they can't move it.
Well, some citizens are monitoring it a lot more closer than they had in the past. I'm sure if there was an inkling of anything leaking, we would know of it. But again, these residents over at Westlake Landfill you're speaking of are lucky ones. And the reason I say that is a lot of these victims live a mile from the source, and this waste is under tons of dirt. We're over here in Venice, in Madison. They dumped it on top of the ground and piled it up as a two-story house and over a football field long and left it for decades. The residents said this radioactive waste is piled up. It looked like a sand dune when the wind would blow.
These victims over here in Westlake Landfill
had the luxury of it being covered up.
And yours was not here. Even covered up. They just dumped
No, I have
it.
Photographs of it. Shows it above ground. They even had a. They never put a warning sign. Now, this is another thing. Over at Westlake Landfill, they have danger, radiation, keep out, and on all the fences. Over here, they never had one sign ever, not even a keep out or a private property, never. And the fence was only 4 feet tall with large sections missing. That's all they had for decades. It wasn't until they removed it in 1993 that they actually put a 10-foot fence up. But still, no signs. Again,
no
they don't
warning.
Want the residents to know. If you would put a danger, radiation sign up,
how did they move
under the
it?
They had trucks come in through the factory gate and then work around, so the residents never saw them. They said they did that to keep from imposing an inconvenience to the neighborhood. But actually, it was out of sight, out of mind is what it was.
When they
removed over 106,000 tons in one radiation cleanup in that lot next to their homes. 106,000 tons equal 212 million pounds of radioactive waste. There was 235 million people in the country back in 1992. That's 1 pound of radioactive waste for every man, woman, and child in the United States was dumped on this lot above ground and ignored for decades. Now, that's perspective. It took 1,000 rail cars to remove it in 3 years. And that was just one radiation cleanup. I got four of them documented.
Who handled the cleanup?
It was an outside company called Environmental Restoration Group, ERG. I called up there and spoke with the site manager.
Did they do a clean, sane, way of removing it? I mean, you say they put these on rails, but was it protected through the rail? I mean, like, did they have, like, uranium dust posting, you know, puffing down the train tracks? I mean, I have this idea that they were just, it sounds like it's just been
when it's a private company, you're never sure of that. Because remember, you're paying a lot of money to do a job. Last thing you want to do is tell their customer, well, you know, it's going to cost you more. So it's always questionable when a private outside company does this. And one of the questions is, in the documents I received during this cleanup, it said that they had air monitors stationed all around this lot that they, when they was removing this radioactive soil, and that the monitors would go off occasionally when it would go over the limit. But there was nothing in these documents where they said they warned the residents, again, not to eat their vegetables or close their windows. You know, they never warned anyone. So in some form, I make them culpable in that manner for not raising a red flag. And again, when it was removing this radioactive waste, they only went as far as the road and stopped. Now, they went 5 feet down, but they didn't dig underneath the road or dig a roadway up or go under the road. They was only paid to clean up that lot and nothing else. And once they got to the edge of it, that's where they stopped. They ignored the rest of the radiation underneath the road, which led to the residents' homes. Remember, they only live 6-8 feet away from this nuclear lot.
Larry, have you had the opportunity to talk to any of the executives for any of these corporations or at the DOE and ask them how in their possible hearts they could possibly just ignore the harm to human health and just
That's
not
That's happening now,
ask.
Dear. You see, we couldn't in the past because of legal aspects. We didn't want to say something or put something out there that could come back to bite us in the ass, so to speak, you know, when it comes to lawsuits. We didn't want to overstep our bounds, and we always want to stay within the legal means. But now that that window has passed, now we're free to say what we know. And at
very shortly, you'll be able to go and ask them these questions.
Yes, so I'm sure the congressman will if we don't.
I hope he does, and maybe that's what you should tell the congressman.
Well, timing is everything when it comes to politicians. And right now, because of Flint, Michigan, here's the good to come from the bad there. Right now, because of Flint, a lot of government officials and agencies across the state are on pins and needles, hoping that does not happen to them. They know of health issues that they've been putting off because they didn't seem to warrant concern. But now, seeing what happened in Flint, Michigan, they don't want to come back and bite them in the ass. So when someone has a health issue now that affects a large community, they have to pay attention. And that's what's happening now up here in Missouri. Now, let me explain. Now, this machine that I told you about I worked on all these years that processed all the uranium, over 3,200,000 pounds of uranium it processed. I found the back half of this machine in 2005 sitting on a abandoned road 50 feet past the county line over here in Illinois. I couldn't believe it. I called the...
Say that again.
I found the back half of this machine that processed all the uranium in our factory sitting on a back road back in November in 2005. Mm-hmm. I had a Senator Obama's aide out there. I had Channel 5 News out there with a camera. I had three lawyers out there.
Wow.
And to look this press over. And we went back to the... And afterwards, they went back and asked the owner why it was out there. And he wouldn't give them a correct, you know, a straight answer. Now, 10 years later, about 7 months ago, I believe I found the front half of this press, the most radioactive part, the part that the uranium was actually pushed through. And believe it or not, it's buried in a field in secret down in southern Missouri.
No way.
I swear. We found out that back in 2005, when after they got rid of all its employees and changed its name, the owner hired this guy in who... the other co-worker said it was a very reliable person. He was always drinking on the job and such. But the owner didn't care because this guy had only one job and one job only, and that was to cut up the front half of this press, to cut it up in little pieces. And he told him to take it to his farm and bury it. And that's what he told the co-workers out there he was doing with it as well. So I'm taking it to his farm and burying it. Now, you know, I didn't think anything about this or know any of this until I found out that the reason that press, the back half of that press, was sitting on the side of the road was the guy who was cutting up this press, his nickname was Scrapper, he was trying to take the back half to a scrapyard. It being the back of the press making it least radioactive, he thought he may be able to get it through the scrapyard's detectors. But he got pulled over and written a ticket for hauling unsafe load. And on that ticket, it had his name and address, which was Southern Missouri. So that traffic ticket, me and the at the EPA office, we was looking it over, was actually a treasure map, which led us to the radioactive gold. So the guy at the EPA office looked up on MapQuest this property, went back to 2005, and his words was, "There's a disturbance in the soil." So
wow.
I've been working with the Department of Natural Resources over in Missouri and a private investigator who works for them to look for such anomalies like this. And we've been working with them. I gave them the phone number of two of the employees who witnessed this gentleman cut it up and load it and haul it away. And we're hoping to get a search warrant soon to go on that property. And if they find it, they can remove it. And then, this is my hope, that they can go after the owner of this factory for willfully and knowingly taking radioactive, well, smuggling radioactive material out of a government-licensed facility. His factory is a defense contractor, by the way. And sneaking across state lines and burying it in secret. If I could have him charged and convicted of a felony, I could have all the government contracts revoked.
No, it's the Price-Anderson Act. He will not be convicted of anything. It's the Price-Anderson Act. Unknowingly causing harm.
Here's the chink in the armor. That was SCI. Now, this is the same owner, but he's changed the name to a different factory. That makes that factory responsible, and that factory has no radiation licensing whatsoever.
And
so
besides
that,
let me ask you,
factory's employees commit a crime. See? Now,
you know
he can't be covered in the Price-Anderson Act because his factory isn't covered anymore. It was the old factory he had to license.
That's true. This was all unlicensed.
Right. See, remember, when he got rid of us, he changed under a new name.
Let me ask you this. Why is it that the government didn't make sure that that radioactive machinery was properly disposed? Isn't it our Department of Energy?
They lost track or ignored it for years. I mean, they wouldn't even cleaned our factory in the year 2000 if it wasn't for Kay Dry doing a newspaper story about it. And if it wasn't for that newspaper story, it'd still be raining down on us today, and we'd probably still be working under it. Well, the new group would be. We'd be too ill.
What do you mean? Say that again. Kay Dry ran a quick story on...
She helped write a story back in 1989 exposing this factory processing uranium. Now, I never read that. I wish I would have back then. I would have had a heads up. But it was in the local newspaper, and it told of a truck driver by the name of Tom Green who would deliver uranium billets to our factory. When she interviewed him, he was laying in a hospital dying of double lung cancer, which was probably contributed to his exposures.
Hmm.
So that's how I found out first, you know, the where it came from and how was through her and through her story. And Miss Dry is a wonderful, wonderful woman. For the last 40, 45 years of her life, she's dedicated to finding radioactive waste sites and factories and production here in the St. Louis area and help for people. And she is truly, truly... a hero in my book.
Yeah, she is. I've interviewed her twice on the radio show. She's really done tremendous work. And her whole focus was civil rights when she got out of college. That's what she was working for, was civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, this kind of makes sense that she would dedicate her life to this, because this is our civil rights.
Well, Mr.
Like,
Green was
a
black man, and
I
believe that's why they took advantage of him, because of that. And he was the one who delivered all the uranium billets to this factory year, you know, month after month after month for years. And again, running it through that factory, making that smoke and steam and heat, it would go up to the roof, and there it would go out the windows and drift over and land in the resident yard.
Larry, let me ask you this, because you might understand where to look for this. Your story reminds me that most of us have no idea how close we live to a nuclear facility or any type of radiological material being produced. Many of us can see chemical factories, but how would a person find out? In your case, it was only because of that story that you found out? I mean, how does a person find out? Like, this is the thing. People in their neighborhoods just don't know.
There's a map or a online where you can go and see different production spots throughout the country and, at different
levels.
Look
at those little towns. Maybe that's what I'll do, is I'll connect all those
stuff. Well, here's a for instance. I was at a funeral of a family friend down in Crystal City, Missouri. It's down southern St. Louis. It's below St. Louis, about 20, 30 miles. And while I was there, when I ran into aunts and uncles and cousins I haven't seen in years, and one of them was a cousin, Linda, of mine. And when I told her about my, you know, radiation exposures and health problems, she told me, oh, yeah, my family was poisoned. I lost my child because of radiation. And I go, well, what do you mean? When she told me, well, we live down in Hematite, Missouri. Well, as soon as she mentioned the word Hematite, I already knew her fate. See, down there they had a small building, not a factory, but a building that processed plutonium.
Oh,
and
my God.
I remember years earlier reading a newspaper article where this lady, Clarissa Eastman, was trying to get help for everyone living around this factory. They found elevated levels in their yards, and they had health problems through the community. And she, you know, when she told me this story, you know, that where she lived, I knew she was one of the victims that was living down there with Miss Easton. So, you know, as I was there to grieve for one of my family members, I was also feeling sadness and remorse for my cousin as well. And the thing is, you know, we haven't seen each other in decades, and we live almost 100 miles apart in two sides of in two different states, yet here we are, both our lives ruined by radiation. And completely unconnected, yet, again, it shows you the proliferation, how much and where it can be.
Yeah. Well, also the denial. This is the thing.
Another one. My coworker worked with me under this uranium for years. And when they shut our factory down, he started working over in St. Louis at another building. Well, they shut that down a few years later, and he went back to look it over, and he noticed they was having a radiation cleanup. So he told me about it, and I looked it up, and it was over on Lafayette Avenue. Well, it turns out that they stored and processed uranium there as well. So here's my friend who worked with me at this factory. He was poisoned by uranium in two different factories in two different states.
Wow.
He had heart surgery at age 39.
Oh, my goodness. See, this is the thing. The denial.
Being poisoned in two different factories in two different states and not even knowing it?
Well, this is the
His wife
this
died
is my
at age 43.
It's the denial of our government. Like, instead of having some integrity and being honest, they have thwarted science entirely. They have disregarded human life and all life on our planet to have military power and might. That's really it. And when they say, even if they want to have energy, okay, it's all about, it's so, to be honest, it is unconscionable. It is, I do not know how they can live with themselves.
It's all about greed of the people who are processing this. Again, if there was no profit to be made, we'd be safe.
There is no profit to be made. They're taking it from the government. That's all it is. It's tax dollars paying for it. This is not an industry that is even insurable. It is uninsurable.
Oh, that's true. In fact, Dow Chemical, who is processing this material, was sued by their own insurance company back in 1969 for over $10 million, and it's all been blacklisted out. You can't find out why. And we believe that they didn't disclose they was working with radioactive materials to their insurance carrier. And when they found out, they was up in arms because they knew that now they're going to be responsible for all these cancers. So what did they do? They sued the Dow Chemical and won.
They won?
Yes. Well, Dow Chemical paid them over $10 million to Aetna, and found a new insurance carrier shortly after.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
Now,
goodness.
We don't know why, because everything's been blacked out, page after page after page, like a government secret, you know, document. But it's really easy to figure out why.
Larry, is there anything that any of our listeners can do to help support your cause? Or is there anything that anybody listening to us can do to maybe help sway our elected officials to take this more seriously? Maybe we should be calling these Congress people and saying, you know, we want real, honest evaluation of the radiological exposure.
Well,
I mean, what do we
in
say?
In fact, you have to, you know, concern is first on the list, but you have to follow it up with knowledge and facts. Because if you come up to a congressman and say, you know, I think I'm worried about this, he's going to say, well, that'll be fine, and brush you off. But when you stick it in his face and say, look at these numbers, or look at these cancers in this neighborhood, or look at this factory, you know, what it's produced, then that's a fact. And if he doesn't do anything then you go to a newspaper and you say, or a TV station, say, look, this congressman knows about all these cancers. Why ain't he doing nothing? Why ain't he doing nothing about this radiation we found? Or what is he doing about this factory that's dirty? See, that's what you have to do sometimes to put some heat under the frog to get them to jump. Now, I did the same thing over here in Missouri. The DNR was had a hard time finding this press that was buried down in southern Missouri. They was dragging their feet. So what did I do? I called the FBI. And I told them, you know, we have tons of radioactive material missing. Instantly, I had their attention. And I told them about it being missing down in southern Missouri and how they haven't made it a priority in finding it. They're more worried about tires in a farmer's field. And I told them that they should make this a priority, but given the fact that anything could happen to anyone with this material. So what they did was they called me 2 days later and said that they're looking into it. So I put the heat on the Department of Natural Resources in finding this press with using the FBI. So for the moment, they was not the Federal Bureau of Investigation. To me, they was the Federal Bureau of Intimidation. And what it did was get them moving. This is things I do to apply pressure to, and the same way to help people. You have to be active. You have to have facts. You have to look. You know, people ain't going to give you answers. They don't know either.
Yeah.
Just like me, it took me 13 years to compile.
And the people who do, this is the interesting thing, and to be honest, I have a bit of bitterness about this one, because it is not our responsibility to do this. This is why we have governmental agencies, this is why we have the EPA, the Army Corps of Engineers. They ought not to have their hands tied behind their back to tell us the truth and to help us.
But remember, I left it up to someone else to look out for our safety at this factory, and they came back and it ruined our lives. So now I ain't leaving it up to someone else. I am taking control. And that's what we all have to do as citizens, to keep these companies, the government, so these materials at bay. We have to realize this as a group. And, again, do your research. Find that map you're talking about. Where is the closest radioactive place to you? Where is the wind, prevailing winds blow? What's the cancer rate in the town next to it? These are things people need to
Don't deny it. Like, I have a family member who lives near 3 nuclear power plants in Pennsylvania. She's like right in the middle of it, and it's like near, I think, Three Mile Island. There's near 2 other nuclear power plants. She has 4 grandchildren with autism, and has really questioned me when I said, "Don't you think that might be related to living near a nuclear power plant?"
Well,
she's like, "No."
You're right. She's lucky, though, in one aspect. She knows where it's at. Millions of us across this country don't know it's in our backyard, don't know it's laying by our mailbox, don't know it's down the street. So in one aspect, she's lucky she knows where it's at. These residents living next to a factory here in Venice, most of them still don't have a clue.
Well, I would like to see us figure out a way to get our country back, to get our government back, to make these agencies work for us, and to get science back, because when scientists lie, people die. That's really and that's what we're living with now. It is an outrage that you have to become an expert. All of us are expected to, like, the scientific community has an obligation to have integrity. That's what I feel.
I have had a lot of people with physicists and help us down the road, doctors, and who are looking back on a career of wanting to repair, I believe, some of the damage they may have done in the past, or to atone for sins in the past, maybe, because there's a lot of retired physicists who now are on the other side of the fence where they've been all their lives.
Right, because they couldn't when they were employed.
Either a university or a government agency would prohibit them because of conflict
that's
of interest.
Right.
I've gone through many doctors and physicists over the years. I've learned this.
Yeah.
Again,
they're coerced at every deep level. It's very sad. Look, we are coming up on the end of the hour, Larry. I cannot believe this, but thank you for joining us. I hope you will come back in maybe a month or so. Update us on what's going on. So, Bergen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Lonnie.
Okay. Well, put your courage feet on, people. Take action. Get educated. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.